All right. Atheism teaches that there's no God. Man comes from animals. And you might as well live to the fullest of your life and do whatever your heart desires, because once you die, that's it. Humanism teaches that man is the only intelligent being in the world, so take control of your life and go as far as you can, because there is no one going to guide you and help you through that roller coaster of life. Because there's no hope. Use it. You are it. You are it. But we Christians believe those philosophies. We believe that there is God, the creator and sustainer of the universe, and God is good. The reason God created everything that we see and we don't see out there in space is because God wants you. God wants me here. You are the first fruit of what God wants in his creation, and you are that much important to God. And then God will give you the good and perfect gifts so you can completely trust God and live with God and follow God, because God has a plan for you. Jeremiah wrote to the Israelites when they're in captivity, and this is what he said. God said, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future, even though you are in miserable state as refugees." God said, "I have a plan for you." Not only for the nation, but individually, God has a plan for you. The question we all have as Christians is, what is God's plan for me? How do I live? And Jesus said very plainly to the devil during his temptation, he said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the living God." The focus today is on that word. What is the word that God is speaking to you so that you can live? Because that is the word that James has talked about here for us to do. During my first sermon, I said that James 1:22 is the heart of his letter. So we'll go through that, read that, and the message is on that. If you have your Bible, turn with me to James chapter 1, verse 19 to 25. I'm reading from the NIV. "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Father, it is your will to save us. That's why you sent your Son. It is your will to keep us straight and righteous once we are saved and made holy by the blood of Jesus. That's why you give us the law. Teach us today how to live with the word that you give to each one of us. to save us and also to prevent us. But also that through that very word that you give to each one of us, blessing will flow. That we will be blessed through that word. And also that the word, the blessing will flow from us to others. May your name be glorified, and may we find the word that you want us to hear today. In Jesus' name I pray. Reading the text and observing what James said here, there are a couple of things that are written here in the text. Let me say there are three things here. The first thing that James talked about, here are the barriers that we have before we hear the word. And that is found in the first two verses. And then the bigger part that he's talking about here is the word that God is speaking to you individually, and you must hear that word succinctly. And then the third thing is live it, do it, what the words tell you to do. So let me just unpack those. First of all, each of us, we come to faith with baggages, or we come to the word with baggages. We know that because here in verse 19 and 21 talked about it. Verse 19, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to be angry. Essentially, you don't know, and I don't know, that when we hear the word of God, we can be fighting back. But we do. Sometimes we hear the word of God and we are very angry, and we said, why? You know, we want to fight God, angry with God. Those are part of what is in us. And also there's moral filth in our lives and evil that is so prevalent in society. We think that's normal. Those are some of the things that are barrier to us. Jesus used the word repentance. And what James talked about here, that to get rid of those things, he's talked about repentance, but using different phrases. Obviously, James wrote to the believers. So that immediately tell you and tell me that repentance is not a one-time thing that happen when you first hear the gospel message and come to faith. Repentance is a continuing process, a continuing evaluations of your heart, your mind, your thought, so that you can continue to grow as God lead you in this life of faith. I want to talk about two group of people as examples so that we understand the baggage that we come in here that we need to lay down so that we can hear the word of God. Let me first talk about people who are well-to-do and born in good family or have achieved something in their lives. There are people like that. There are many ways people get pride and prejudice. It suffices for me to just take one example, accomplishment. If you accomplish something, that accomplishment gives you pride. But at the same time, simultaneously, it gives you prejudice. It happens to me. It happens to everyone. This is very common. We bring pride into the study of the word and prejudice the word at the same time. For example, last week and the week before we talked about if you are rich, then you should be prideful when you are humble, when you become poor, essentially. When you hear a word like that, if you're rich and if you're in with you have a good life and God's calling you to be poor, You want to fight back. You say, hey, don't do that. I want to be better. I remember that exactly my situation when God called me in 1995. So immediately you rise up and you said, God, stop. You know, it's just like verse 19. He stopped. I want to talk. I don't want to listen because you're talking about something here that bothers me. I want to be better. Right now I live in this house, but my plan is to have a bigger house, a bigger yard. You know, that is pride. And the pride that you have in life, you suppress the word of God immediately. It's just, you don't think about it. It's just automatic. It just come out of you. Now let me just take the other group of people who are in humble circumstances, like poor, or orphan. You are an orphan, and you are sick, or you feel you have not been loved as you're growing up. Immediately you hear and you said, God, if there's you, how come I am so poor? How come my parents die young? I'm orphan. I have no one to care for me. If you are alive, how come I'm so sick? I can't even live my life. How come I have not been loved? I want love, but everything that I found, every relationship I had, was just crushing down. If you are God, how come? You see, you bring out your anger at God and say, if you exist, look at me, the way I live, the way I exist here, my circumstance doesn't prove you exist. Your anger just come right out, rushing out of your heart. I think it's enough for me to stop here and say, you have baggage in your life, in my life. Those baggage, James said here that, no, you need to lay them down. Don't talk back to God. Listen. Don't talk back to God. Your anger will not make you righteous. The goal that God is speaking to you, the reason you are hearing the gospel today, is because God wants you to be righteous. God wants to save you. God wants to bless you. That's why you hear the message. So don't stop. Don't talk back to God. Just listen. That's essentially the first part that James is preparing you and preparing me here, and want you to be prepared and want me to be prepared so that we can hear the word of God. So that's the first part that James is talking about here. The second thing James is talking about here in these verses, we know there's emphasis on the word. Now, the word here is not plurals, it's a singular. What is the word here? We find here in verse 21, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. In verse 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Again, is on the word. And verse 23, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says, here is singular, the word again. But then James changed it in verse 25. He made the word the perfect law. It's the same thing, but he then changed the terminology so that you understand. What do we get out of this? Well, let me tell you a little bit about the history of interpretation of the singular term word here. In the last 2,000 years, Christian leaders have looked at and studied and said the word, whenever we see the singular word here in Scripture, the first reference is to Christ. God intended for everyone to hear salvation, and salvation is only in Christ. So the word of God is Christ. In John chapter 1, verse 1 to 5, and verse 14, that in the beginning there was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word became flesh. That is about Jesus Christ. A lot of people in the world don't accept the Word. They reject the Word. That means they rejected Jesus. Okay, so that is the first meaning of what the Word is. The second meaning of the Word is the preaching of the gospel itself. You probably, everyone here, most, if not everyone in this room, have accepted Jesus as Lord. So the first application doesn't apply to you. But the second application is this. You hate the preaching in the church. There are times in my life I hate some preaching in the church. Why? Because when you go to church, you just hear the pastor just preach on you about your sin, about your this, about your that. And then you just hate coming to church. You know, have you been there? That's the second reference for the word. That when you come to church, they just preach at you. You know, I'm sorry to say this to our young brothers and sisters who are just coming to Christ. You probably hear this a lot, that you're coming to church, you want to be at church to be loved, but for some reason the pastor just preach at you all the time. You find that to be true. And so a lot of people, not only for our new brother and sister who just come to the church, there are children in the church too growing up in the church, and they hate church because pastors just preach on me all the time. And I hate that. You know, who would love to be preached to all the time, you know? So the second meaning of the word here is the preaching in the church. You just feel that you come to church and you just get hammered every Sunday. I hate that. And everyone hate that. The third reference to the word is the whole Bible. The whole Bible is the word. Now, consider that you accept Jesus Christ and you accept the first word. Okay, the second, you feel comfortable with the preaching at the church because the preaching also helps you, and there's, even though it's hammering in your head and the hammer you all the time, you also feel that, hey, I like the preaching here. I like the preaching in the church. But then you don't read the Word of God. Right? You have the Word of God, you bring it home, or you have one at home. When is the last time you opened the Bible? Be a long time ago. And so that the third meaning is that. So when you hear the word that is getting at you here, what is James talking about here in these verses? I want you to think about two things, because James gave us here so that we can think about that particular word. Now, you can say that there's a lot of preachings in the church that you have heard. There's a lot of gospel message that you have heard. The Bible is so thick. There's a lot of pages here. I don't know which word I should start in my life with. Okay, James is coming in that, trying to focus on that for you to hear that there is a particular foundation in your life, a particular word in your life that God wants you to start there. And he used two verses here to really focus our attention. And you should listen to this. In verse 21, James said, the word that is planted in you, which means you already heard, okay, that can give you salvation, can give you, it has the power to save you. Think about that in your life. Was there a verse in Scripture that's kind of, you are hooked, that you just come to love because that just gives you meaning for your life? That is one verse. But don't stop there. In verse 25, James talked about the perfect law that gives freedom. Look at your life. There must be a verse in Scripture that is like a hook that is kind of get into you and just won't let you go, and you just struggle with that. You want to save, and you just feel like, I want salvation, but this hook on me, and I can't get out of it. It is like a law that is pushing you to go one direction, is promising you blessing and freedom, but you just feel like you struggle with that so much. That is the verse. It is called the life verse, I would call it. It is that verse that James wanted you to focus on. That is the verse that God wants to build you up, to build the foundations of your faith. So from that particular verse, you will grow up. And God wants you to know that there is such a verse. And God is speaking to each one of us through that verse. And your verse is different from mine. Later I'll tell you about my verse. But I just want you to know that that is the verse that James is talking about here. That's why he used those two phrases to kind of give you an indication where he's leading. Now, you may not know that verse yet. And so I want to speak to you a little bit how to find out about that verse. Some of you have your life in a bind, in the bondage, and you're desperate to get out of it. Maybe it's a sickness, maybe it's a situation in life, whatever, but you know you are in a very difficult situation and you hate it, but you are in there and you want to get out of it. And you want to get out of it quickly. And no one knows, but you know it, and it is destroying you. You know if you stay in this place longer, it will destroy you, just crushing on you. And when you are in this situation, then you are desperate to God and said, I want a verse, because I want to be delivered from this place, from the situation that I'm in. And you're praying, God, give me a sign. You know, you think about that. Like, give me a sign, give me a way out, because I hate this situation that I'm in. And God promised to give you a word to answer your situation so you get out of it. Just keep looking. Maybe you're in that situation, but you keep looking. You want that word, and God promised to give you that word to deliver you out of that. Now, some of you may not sense that you have any problem at all in life, and you come to church, and you're listening to the preaching in the church here, and the word that is preached here just come and just grab you and just bring out the anger from you and the irritation from within you. And that's why James said here in verse 19 to 20, dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to be angry. For man's anger does not bring out the righteous life that God desires. What he's talking about here is that if you come to church and listen to the gospel, and there's something just jump out of you, and you just want to talk to God about it, that is a clear indication that the word of God is speaking to you. It is that word that you jump at, and you want to talk to God, and you want to clench your fist and, God, talk to me about this. Why are you saying this? Okay. So if you haven't found the word that God wants to speak to you to deliver you out of your situation, come to church and listen, and soon enough, at the appropriate time, God will speak to you, and you will find that word that is just bring out the issues of life and just bring it out to the open, and you know this is it. Okay? Because it bring out the irritation, bring out the issue that is in your heart. And you know that is the problem that I'm dealing with. I may be living out for people to see, and I'm smiling and dressing nice and like cool on the outside, but I know inside me is a disease, is eating me out, and I don't want to confess it. But this message is bringing it right out. That is the word that God is speaking to you. So, when you look at from different perspective, you will find it. Some of you may find it in your reading of Scripture. You're reading the Bible, and because you're a Christian, right? You're taught to read the Bible, and you read the Bible, and you just find some text in the Bible, and you just said, "What is this?" You know, Dr. Vince Vitale, he said when he was first introduced to the Bible in college, he read through the Bible. And there's a lot of texts that he read and he just write BS. And the margin. People ask him. He knows why he writes the BS, right? And for a Christian, I don't want to tell you what that BS is, but you know what that BS is. You just write on the text of the Bible and then margin BS. And people are asking, what is BS? Well, oh, it's good for Bible study. That's the lie, all right? Dr. Vince Vitale said, those are some of the issues in the Bible. And those are the issues in which God wants to build you up, and you see it as a law. It's like a big law that is coming against you and it's coming to hammer you down. And you said, I don't like it because it is prohibition. It is the big BS for me. Those are the words, or one word, that God is trying to get your attention. When you read the Bible, you find something like that, just jump out at you and you want to fight that one in the Bible. That is the verse. That is the word that God is speaking to you. Okay? So once you know the word, just don't stop there, James said. The third thing here, James said, take corrective action. Do the word. Now, you have a problem doing the word. I have a problem doing the word. But that is what James said. If you want to pursue God, if you want to reach a righteous life with God, a right relationship with God, start with that word that is jumping at you and you're fighting. That is just bringing out the things from your heart. All right. Now, and looking at what James said here, the promise is this. That same word that you hated, it is the same word that will save you. It is the same word that will give you freedom. It is the same word that will bring you blessing. They're all in that one word that you're fighting with. So I want to focus on verse 25, because this is where he said, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Remember, the word earlier said that it is planted in you and will save you. Here you said the word is the perfect law, but will give you freedom. Not only that, but will give you blessing. I want to focus on looks intently and also continue to do this. I want to look at those two words because they are the key words in this text. the term looks intently here, in the Greek, it talked about this. It said, you see it, you see the word that is kind of bothering you and you want to fight it, okay? And the Greek word said, stoop down and look at. Okay, don't go away. It just said, rest there, okay? Set yourself down there. Sit down. Stoop down and look at that. That means you make that a very important part. The second word talked about here is the word continue to do this. The Greek, it says this, you remain by it. I will paraphrase this. Come and park your life there. Park your life there. It is the most meaningful part of spiritual growth, to these two words. You, once you know about the word, then you sit down. Don't go. Sit down. Not only sit down, park your life there. Park your life there. Let me tell you about my verse, and then we'll end as part of the conclusion of this. When God called me in 1995, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 to 11 came to me. It was just gripped me like a hook is catching the fish, and I can't get out of it. Here in this verse, it talked about knowing Christ, knowing the power of Jesus' death, and knowing the power of his resurrection, and knowing the participation in Christ's own suffering, and then know your own resurrection. So, those are the phrases that caught me. See, what knowing Jesus is similar to knowing Donald Trump. Everyone here knows Donald Trump. He's the president of the United States. We all know about it. But knowing Jesus is not like knowing Donald Trump. Knowing Jesus is that Jesus knows you. Why? Why is that so important? Because Jesus said so in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. A lot of people call me Lord, Lord, but the crunch of it is that I don't know them. So knowing Jesus is a personal relationship. It's not a head knowledge. You're not born into the church and become a member of Christ. And then you heard a lot of talk about Jesus Christ. And suddenly you know Jesus because everyone's talking about Christ. Jesus said, that is not the knowledge. And so I'd be shaken to the core and said, Jesus, do you know me? You know, I think it's very easy to say that Jesus knows everyone who ever exists in the world because he is God. But what Jesus is talking about there is that, no, it is a personal relationship. You are my friend. I'm your friend. You live in me and I live in you. And the questions I have for me was, Jesus, do I know you like that? Do you know me like that? Am I your friend? Until I'm comfortable with that I know Jesus personally, so it is a personal relationship. Did I shake hands with you? Did I meet you somewhere? Did I meet with you? You are God, you know, you when you meet with me. Maybe I don't know when I meet with you, but when did I meet with you, Jesus? When did you come into my life? When did that happen? you're struggling with these things, and I did, and you, well. The second part is that I was practicing law, and I was having a good life, right, and then making money. And God, I was telling God, God, why don't you, you know, take my hand. This call to follow you is really dragging me down. I know pastors in those days, they only get paid in $15,000, $20,000. The best was here in Sacramento. They only pay $45,000. That include everything. I was making six figures. It was, God, why do you call me down? And then the word from God is that I dragged my son down and I let my son die on the cross. And since I do that to my son, why don't I do that to you? But God also said there is a power to going down. You know, I see power going up, but God said, no, there is power going down. And in Jesus, power going down, coming from heaven to earth and to not only become your servant and my servant, but to die on the cross for you, is there is a power to redeem you and to redeem the whole world so that everyone would go to heaven. Right? So there is a power going down, but I don't see that power going down. Lord, if I'm going down with you, what good is that? What good is that for me? What good is that for my children? What good is that for my friend? But God said, there is a power going down. I never see the power going down. I only see the power going up. But God said, there is a power going down. And I must learn what that power works like in my life. The example is in Jesus. But when Jesus going down, he finally died on the cross. That is, Satan's throne is cut off. Satan's control over the world is cut off at the moment of Jesus' death. That is the power going down. And we don't know that power, but God call you and call me to know that power of going down with God. But there is also the participation with the suffering of Jesus, right? You don't want to be suffering. You don't want your brother or sister to stone you, to kill you, to hurt you. But God said there is a power in that participation with Jesus' suffering, and we have to learn that. I have to learn that. Then ultimately there's the power of the resurrection, and God wants you to know that, want me to know that. So see, this verse become the foundations of my pursuit of God in the last 24 years. This verse is the verse that I come and park my life. And God has a verse like that for you and every one of you. God wants you to know, because it is that verse that will be a blessing to you. Is that verse that will bring salvation to you? Is that verse that will bring freedom to you? God desperately wants you to know that verse. This is what James is talking about. There is a word that God is speaking to you. And some of you, as you hear this message, is flashing in your head. I know. I already have that verse, but I resist it. And God is telling you today, no, don't resist it. That is the one that will save you. It may look like a law. It may look like a compulsion over you. But it is that one will give you freedom and will give you blessing. So let's stand and pray.